Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
And Jen, this is the last thing I'll say about my 60th birthday in a while, but I had a major realization about it because my birthday happened since last we spoke.
Indeed. Indeed it did. Tell me.
I was anxious. I was full of all sorts of feelings before my birthday. After my birthday, I was like, you know what? For years now, throughout my 40s and my 50s, I've been trying to convince myself somehow that I'm still young, even if I'm an old young person.
Right, right.
You know, I'm right. Still a young person.
Right, right.
Then I turned 60 and I was like, I'm a young old person. I'm like, if I just think about it that way, like a really young old person, I'm a spring chicken.
You are. You are the youngest. You are the youngest old person, I feel like. I feel like 60 is the youngest. It's like the infancy of older age.
Right. So I feel like I'm really hot stuff now.
Yeah, good. Well, you are hot stuff. You are hot stuff because you're in no way what anyone pictures to be a 60-year-old. So you are hot stuff just by nature of that. And you're still relevant and you're still doing interesting work. And, you know, yes, you're ticking all the boxes.
But speaking of birthdays, tomorrow is yours.
It is my birthday tomorrow. It is. I am feeling so great. I am feeling better than I have felt in literal years because I had, and I'm not going to get into too many of the details of this, but I had a very difficult conversation with my parents about my book that I had been mm-hmm. dreading having, that I had been terrified to have, like as if I was, you know, 8 again or 11 again or, you know, whatever, a kid. And I had it and it went really well. And I feel such a sense of palpable relief, freedom. Like I feel something I don't think I've ever felt before. Like I wrote this book for me in a way to sort of really get through, to understand myself better and understand my life better and everything else. And I had never really talked to my parents about anything that's in the book. They knew it was happening, but they didn't know when and they didn't know what and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I said like the magic word. It was like, it worked like magic. I was honest. I had boundaries. I wasn't apologetic. And it was like everything mm-hmm. I learned in therapy over the last, I don't know, however many fucking years, how many years have I been in decades of therapy. I like put mm-hmm. it all into this one conversation and it worked like magic. And
amazing.
I can't believe it. Like it was cathartic. I feel closer to them than I've ever felt. I feel like we can turn a new page with each other. I felt like an adult child instead of just a fucking little crumbly baby, you know?
Yeah.
And yep. I really, it's, it's one conversation has transformed my life. I have been so much just calmer, just better. I just feel better. It's amazing. And I am such a coward when it comes to hard conversations. You aren't, but I am. I'm a fucking coward. I will run anywhere instead of doing it. And I just did it. So I'm feeling very good. I'm feeling very good going into my 51st year.
Amazing. And you didn't ask their permission. You told them what you did.
Yeah, that was exactly it. I told them what I did. And I also was just like, oh, I handled all of this like an adult. Like I was proud of myself. I feel like this is a way I would advise somebody else to handle themselves. You know, like I have a friend mm-hmm. right now who's working on a memoir and is like, I can't tell the truth about my parents. And I was like, if you don't, you're going to regret it. And if you don't, kind of what's the point of doing it? You know?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like a totally different lady. I'm a totally different lady than I was a week ago. Plus, I was on the Jersey Shore in the winter, like my favorite thing in the world, off-season Jersey Shore, mm-hmm. walk to the Ocean City Boardwalk, like fucking just the best time. I don't know why people don't vacation there in the winter. It's so good. It's
the beach
so
is magical in the winter.
It is. It really is.
Yeah, I love the beach in the winter.
I love the beach in the winter. So anyway, yeah, I'm feeling really excited about my birthday. And then I'm feeling really excited that this trip that we're going on for Alt Summit, which by the time this comes out, we will already have been there, happened to coincide with kind of both of our birthdays. And is now we're just treating it as a birthday trip.
It's our birthday trip. I can't wait. I literally cannot wait for our trip. And it's so soon.
It's so soon. And all the we've been texting back and forth about outfits. Kim is struggling very much in packing. Explain.
Well, we're only going to be there for what? Four nights, right?
Four nights. Yes.
Five nights?
Four nights.
Four nights. But my desire to bring good game wardrobe wise.
Yes.
And also, and some colorful things, because I feel like color is kind of required in Palm Springs.
Sure.
So doing that and also having a dress for when it's hot during the day, but then something warmer for night because it gets cold in the desert at night. And I there is no way I'm not packing for this trip in a carry-on, and I don't know how I'm going to fit everything in a carry-on.
You know what? I don't envy you, because the multi-season packing trip is the hardest packing trip of all. Because even if it's just straight up winter, you think, oh, the clothes are so bulky, but you can figure that out. You're like, okay, I'll pack two thick sweaters and I'll wear one of them. I'll pack one. You know, you can figure that out. It's the temperature swing that is the most challenging to pack for.
Yeah.
When you have to have layers.
The good thing, because I get really obsessive about this and check the weather forecast a great deal, mm-hmm. is that it's going to be fairly, warm for this time of year in New York on Thursday morning when I leave and mm-hmm. when I get back on Tuesday morning.
Okay.
So I can wear the jacket I'll wear in Palm Springs on the plane.
Excellent. So no coat. I mean, that's a Kat Marnell trick. Never wear a coat to the airport if you're going on a warm vacation, warm weather.
See, that... I would have to disagree with Kat Marnell on that, because once I left, I was going down to Mexico mm-hmm. and it was winter, it was Christmas time, and I left my puffer in the plane.
Okay.
And I spent so much time on that trip worrying about how I was going to feel when I got out of the airport and was waiting for a taxi in New York. Like, it was probably, a span of about 7 minutes that we're talking about, but I obsessed over it the entire trip. Like, what layers can I wear with what, so that I'm not freezing for the 7 minutes I'm outdoors between when I leave the airport and I get in a taxi.
I mean, look, you have to know yourself. You have to know who you are. That's it. That's it.
Yes, I know myself that way. I can't, I've already thought, because what we're doing, listeners, is that I'm flying to LA and then Jen and I are driving to Palm Springs together.
You better make us a playlist, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because my musical taste, as my husband explained to you, is just pure chaos. So you have to make that. Okay. So anyway, You're driving, you're coming to my house.
I'm coming to your house and I'm already like, will I have time at Jen's house to change out of my travel outfit into another outfit? But even more pressingly, will I have time after our panel on Monday? Like, where will I change? We will have checked out of the hotel. Where will I change into my airport outfit? And do I do that in Palm Springs or do I wait till Los Angeles? And am I going straight to the airport or am I going to go to your house for a couple hours and then go to the airport? This is what I think about. This is how my mind works.
Oh my God, this is amazing. This is amazing. Well, I mean, we'll solve all of this. We're going to be together for several days. We will solve all of this. Look, this is just a plan. This is your... God, I'm actually surprised about this because I don't think of you as a planner. Do you know what I mean?
No, like, I'm not. I'm not a planner, but I plan around travel because I dislike getting caught by surprise while traveling.
I am a good planner for travel because I dislike a poor plan while traveling, and I dislike discomfort that could have been avoided. That is always my, if I can anticipate the discomfort. Anyway, we will sort all of this out and we will find you a place. And for sure, on the way there, you could come into my house and get changed.
I know, but these are all just, I think about all these things. Like, what if I'm not, I mean, I really think because I have my socks I wear when it's so embarrassing. When it's below about 43 or so, I have to wear knee socks. If it's okay. In the 50s or something, I've got to wear regular crew socks. But what will I wear on Monday? Which socks?
Which socks?
I'll want to have the knee socks. I can really make myself crazy with all these details.
So you need an extra, we both have manicures for our trip.
Yes, I've already chipped mine too.
Oh,
I'll have you know.
The dip, you cannot break the dip. I can't explain it to you.
I did the gel, which is what I've done. And I don't know if they offer the dip, but I'm going to ask next time I go.
You have to get the dip. The dip is amazing. And so I had it removed yesterday, which it had not, all it had done was grow out. It had not moved at all. And they removed it yesterday and they make you dip your fingertips in acetone. And then it comes right off. Before they did my nails again, I was feeling the condition of my nails and I was like, oh, my nails are really strong under here. Like, this is not destroying my
really?
Nails. Really? Yeah. So I was very pleased with that. So stupid, but like a little like nail solution for me. They don't have as many good colors. Like, there's not as much of a color selection, but I don't care. I'd rather have the gels were starting to get to me.
Well, they're terrible for your nails.
Having them come off, the way they were removing them was I think damaging my nails, and that freaks me out to have weak nails. Just like it freaks me out when my hair is fucked up. I'm like, oh, my health. You know, who knows?
Who the fuck knows? No, I understand that.
I'm going to a spa in the morning of my birthday. I have a perfect day planned for my birthday.
Yeah, I want to hear about your day.
I'll wake up, whatever. I'll see my kid and I'll kiss my kid. Hello, hi, get you to school. I'm going for a walk with a friend around the reservoir with whatever. It doesn't matter. But with a good friend who I haven't seen in a while, our friend Liz, I'm going to see her in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm headed straight from there to the Wii Spa in Los Angeles, which has, where you do have to walk around naked, but I don't care, which has many hot tubs, cold plunge pools, saunas, steam rooms.
Cool.
I'm getting a body scrub and a massage. And then I'll come home, do a little work, and then go out to dinner with my husband and child, to Little Dom's, which is a restaurant that we go to for everybody's birthday. And then the next day, you and I go away.
Perfect. That sounds like a perfect birthday day. I think it's really nice to see friends on your birthday.
I do too. But not like partying. I went out, Kimberly Harrington was in town and we went out on Friday and we drank. We drank and I had to start the first day of my recording, my audiobook the next day. And it was one of those things I was like, fuck me. What is wrong with me that I went out the night? Like, am I in college? Like, that I went out the night before I had to do this very important thing? I mean, I was fine. It was like, you just have to sit in a booth. But I was still like a little bit like out of it and hungover.
How long does it take to record the audio for your book?
It takes a long time. It takes like 40 hours.
So you're not done yet. You just started.
No, but it's supposed to take 40 hours, but this is embarrassing, but I'm kind of good at it. And I doing the Stift podcast really kind of trained me to do audio work. Like I know how to pick up in real time and I know how to fluctuate my voice and all of these things. Like I really had some training for it. So I blew through 130 pages of the book in 2 days. And they said that was a lot.
Wow.
So I was really happy. So I'm almost halfway done. So I'm only going to have like two or three more days and I was supposed to have five more days. So I'm excited about that, but I love it. I love reading the book. Like I'm actually not feeling, I think since I talked to my parents, especially like I'm really digging reading the book, except some parts where I had never said those things out loud and I cried, but you know, I had to take like a half hour break after like a particularly traumatic episode in the book. I had to take a half hour break and like calm myself down. But it's weird. It was worse reading shit out loud, some of the trauma, than it was writing it.
I believe that. That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
Because you're actually saying it for the first time. You're articulating it for the first time, even if you've written it and revised it 1,000 times.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't trigger alert, but I wouldn't like do a reading about sexual assault. You know what I mean? Like that's not the excerpt you would choose. You know, it's not, it's like, it's too heavy and it's hard to say those words out loud and put yourself back in that kind of space. But that said, I'm really grateful because they don't, you know, you don't always get to read your book and I can't imagine anyone else reading this book. You know, it would have been so weird. It's like, it would have been so weird to hear somebody else telling this like really personal story. So anyway.
And you have a great, I'll just say, you have a great voice. Like you have a great reading voice. It makes sense to me that it's going well.
Yeah, I like it. I like doing it. Like, so that's always, you know, that's always fun. Like I have friends who got into audio, like writer friends who got into audio and her like, never fucking again. I'll never do a pod. Like, I hate this, but I like it. It's, mm-hmm. it's fun for me, which is always, you know, that's the kind of shit we need to be pursuing as we get older, is the stuff that kind of lights us up. So.
Yep. I agree 100%.
I like it. So on a totally different topic, while I was away, a work of art came out that we have not had a chance to discuss. And I'm assuming you didn't watch.
Okay.
Have you seen The Greatest Love Story Never Told? The J-Lo documentary.
No, what is that?
Oh my God.
No, you know I haven't.
Okay.
I've been told to watch it. And okay. Not by you, by like others.
Okay, you have to watch it. The thing, and everybody should watch, like not everybody should watch it. Watch whatever the fuck you want. But like, the problem is that I wish I had watched them in reverse. So the documentary is the making of her new video anthem, whatever that musical video of her album is. I don't know what you would even call that, her, whatever it is, whatever the album that she just came out with, This Is Me Now. And like, it's a mm-hmm. it's a multi-part musical video. It is the musical video. Is not good. Like it is so weirdly not good that it is like disturbingly not good. Like you can't believe some of the artistic choices that were made. However, the documentary is fucking amazing. You see J-Lo has no makeup on throughout the whole thing. She looks like shit a lot of the time. Her and Ben Affleck are like having many conversations. She's like doing all this business and she's just like trying to push this boulder up the hill that she really wants to get to make this movie of her art, of her music. She really wants to. And if I hadn't known how bad the art was, this would be such an inspiring movie. Like it would be like, oh my God, fucking go, J-Lo.
Right.
Even as such, it is still kind of an amazing document of a woman over 50 dancing with all 20-year-olds, talking about what that's like talking about getting older and feeling uncomfortable about it, talking about her vision creatively, talking about her life and her relationships. Anyway, it's totally worth watching. And it's like the spectacle of Ben Affleck in it. And he also shoots a lot of it. It's crazy. It's for the voyeur in all of us, totally worth it.
Okay. What if over 20 years ago, you interviewed J-Lo and she was your least favorite interview you ever did. And you took to bed for 2 days afterward. Would you still like the movie?
I think that I think this shows her and celebrity in a different light. The documentary, not the video. And sure, she still has like celebrity disease where she thinks like everybody cares about her. Everybody's thinking about her. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's wondering what happened in her life, you know, but it's more a sort of reflection on what it is to be post 50, still doing shit in the world and still putting all your effort into something, even if it's not good. I wish I had not. I wish I had never seen the result of this behind the scenes video. But anyway, I think it's fascinating. If you hate J-Lo, I don't know. I can't promise it's going to turn it around for you.
Well, I don't hate J-Lo. I feel like I was scarred by J-Lo.
Yeah, I get that.
It's kept me from having any affection for her, even as I, you know, support your feelings about J-Lo and Ben Affleck.
I don't really like, and someone pointed this out to me and they were like, God, Ben Affleck's such a sleazebag. And I was like, I don't like them. I am just fascinated by them. Yeah. It's not like, I'm not like, oh, wow, they are
I want to be
artistes.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh no, I'm just fat. Well, I'm fascinated by celebrity, but also I'm just fascinated by them as public figures and their story, which I find also really interesting. I find it interesting when people come back together after years of being apart, like anyone, like if I read that, if that was on like the Today Show, or if I read in the Vows column, you know, I find that to be an interesting phenomenon.
It seems like it's something that happened more when we were younger. Like when I was a kid, I remember hearing about kids whose parents broke up and remarried.
Yes.
Because divorce was still such a taboo.
Yeah. But like, I have a friend who recently got divorced from like a shitbag and actually wound up meeting up with her college boyfriend. Like they were just in the same place at the same time and they got back together. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like the one that got away. I don't know. I don't know if the one that got away is real.
I think if you can convince yourself it's real, then it's very potent, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on how much like I guess what it kind of gets into is, are we foundationally always the same? You know, are we sort of foundationally always the same? And then we kind of work out like the worst parts of us ourselves, or I guess it also gets into like, love is like, you know, or relationships are, you know, I think somebody once said to me, relationships are like 90% about timing, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. And I think this film is interesting.
Well, I might end up watching it. I do have a date with my friend Kate to watch the Eras Tour movie.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's streaming now. And I still have just enough of, you know, I think my Taylor Swift fascination has kind of, you know, it's been eclipsed, but not by any bigger fascination, just self-involvement or whatever. It's on the wane. It's very much on the wane. But I'm going to get us a friendship bracelet kit.
No.
So we can make friendship bracelets.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I don't understand this, but I respect it.
I don't know that I respect it. I don't know that at all or
I respect
understand it.
I think it's fun. I think it's fun. And I think that anything that's fun is respectable. Most things.
Speaking of fun things or things that were more fun than they usually are, did you watch the Oscars?
I did. I did watch the Oscars. I enjoyed the Oscars.
Me too. At the end of the Oscars, we were both like, that was not a bad Oscars.
Well, you know, it was also an excellent year for movies. I watched almost every movie on the Best Picture list. Like, I think I had not watched one of them, but it was I recently watched Poor Things. Poor Things is great. Like, it's great. She's amazing in it. What she does is amazing.
We watched it Saturday night, before, right before the Oscars, and it's astonishing, her performance.
Yeah.
And I think also, like, I found the movie for me dragged a little, but as far as like the creating a universe part of filmmaking, like chef's kiss, like amazing.
I agree. I watched Oppenheimer with my parents. Of course, I watched Oppenheimer in the worst conditions you can watch Oppenheimer. My parents' TV is on whatever that soap opera HD is, definition is. They haven't figured out HD, and I just was not going to get into it with them. I forget what it's called, but it's like, it's called like smooth movie or so. I forget what it's called. Anyway, it was it like looked like a daytime soap. Like it was like,
how funny.
The director would murder me, but that was a good movie too. Like it was just a good year for movies, you know? So, but the Oscars were great. I can't think of any outfit that I was like, oh yeah, I love that outfit. I thought Emma Stone looked good. You know, I wasn't like, oh wow, to anything.
Emma Stone looked good. I'm not a fan of a peplum.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of a peplum. It's a little prissy for me.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm with you. I think there were very few people where you were like, oh my God, what a mistake was just made.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't think anybody looked just amazing. Who is it who plays Bernstein's wife in Maestro?
Oh, yes. She looked amazing. I know who you're talking about. Carrie Mulligan, maybe? Maybe? I don't know. She looked fucking amazing.
Something like that.
And you know who else looked amazing? And they were both wearing the same designer. And you know who also looked amazing was the woman from Anatomy of a Fall, whose name I'm also forgetting right now.
Yes.
That dress with the big sharp sleeves, she looked fucking phenomenal. And the director, writer of Anatomy of a Fall with her suit, I thought she looked, that French woman with her long, beautiful hair, she looked great.
She looked amazing. I definitely paid attention to that suit. It was something you could pull off. You could totally pull off that suit.
I would wear a suit like that. Yeah, I like a suit. I haven't worn a suit like that ever, but that's probably what I would wear it to a formal situation at this point. I went to a Golden Globes party, a black tie Golden Globes party a couple of years ago, and I like rented a dress, and it was a perfectly good dress. But I was like, oh God, like I felt kind of mother of the bride. Like I don't like formal dresses on myself anymore. It's not really a thing that I'm into.
But you don't need to be into formal dresses. You can always wear something that's not floor length to a black tie event, unless it's like ridiculously formal. You know, you really can get away with a lot.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, so I really go back and forth with dresses, period, if I even like dresses anymore. Like, sometimes I'm like, ew, like, just feel like I would rather be in a jumpsuit or a pair of pants. Like, I'm just like, I don't even know if I want, like, my flesh. Like, sometimes I'm just like, I don't even know if I want it open and airy like this anymore, except, like, at the beach, like, or super casual when it's really hot.
Yeah. No, you know, I will say that one of the funner things about being the editor of Lucky was that whenever I had a formal event, which was often because advertisers,
right,
the market editors would go out and grab a bunch of dresses for me, wheel them into my office on a rolling rack, and I'd try them all on and choose the prettiest one. And then the accessories editors would, based on the dress I chose, go get me shoes and jewelry.
Amazing. Amazing.
All of this went back the day after. None of it I got to keep.
Right, right.
But it was like being Cinderella over and over and over again, getting to borrow these beautiful dresses.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. I just still... That's not when I feel my most beautiful is like done up like that.
I get it.
I don't anymore. You know, I think that there was a time when I did, but now like I think that as you get older, you look better. Like, it's interesting because Pamela Anderson with no makeup on, I think, is looking really, really pretty in all of the, like, she looks mm-hmm. really pretty dressed up with no makeup and very natural hair, you know, very soft, just like her hair, whatever.
Yep.
And I've been thinking about that a lot because as I've been discussing, like, makeup is more like lately, I'm like, oh God, I don't know about fucking makeup anymore.
Yeah. No, I'm not that way about makeup at all. I'm like, makeup and more makeup, please. Like, I wore makeup. I think I've said this on the podcast before. I wore makeup every day of COVID quarantine when I was alone, except for my dogs, because I knew that at certain points in the day, I would catch my reflection in the mirror and I wanted to like look okay for myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm pretty attached to makeup.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it goes wrong all the time. Like, I don't like a non-smeary lipstick, not lipstick. Well, yes, I had on lipstick and mascara the other night. And mascara and like a friend took a picture of me and posted it. And the mascara had like melted down in my eye. It looked like I had a fucking black eye. It was the end of the night. And the lipstick was like cracked on my lip. And I was like, I would be better if I had nothing on my fucking face. Like, if that's what I look like after 4 hours out, like, that is not doing me any favors, you know, but who the fuck knows? I mean, it doesn't matter ultimately. Like, who cares? None of it matters. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. Now I'm just spiraling down a hole. Let's take a quick break from some ads.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Support for Everything is Fine comes from Ritual. So I love Ritual. Everyone knows I love Ritual. I talk about Ritual all the time. I particularly love their daily multivitamin. And I also really have been enjoying their melatonin. But the thing I love most about Ritual is their Hyacera. It's a once daily skin supplement that's clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. In a clinical study, Hyacera led to 3.6 times reduction in crow's feet wrinkles within 90 days as compared to a placebo. Hyacera led to 2.9 times increase in skin smoothness within 90 days as compared to a placebo. You can enhance your skincare routine from the inside out with one daily capsule essenced with soothing vanilla. I love Hyacera. It's been rigorously tested and validated. It's one of the industry leading sustainability. It meets all of the industry leading sustainability standards. You know, I'm a beauty editor now. I am all about keeping my face plump. And Hyacera absolutely has done that for me. I've been on it for months. I don't even know how long. And I can really see a difference in the texture of my skin. My skin looks more juicy, I guess is the best way to do it. Say it, do it. Okay, so you can start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/fine. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription to get today. That's ritual.com/fine for 25% off.
And we're back.
What else is happening with you?
Well, I don't know. I never know how to answer that question when you ask me what is happening with me.
I know. I feel like I'm throwing to a thing on your list, and maybe you don't have a thing on your list. I don't know.
I'll tell you what I've been watching. I've been rewatching Larry Sanders.
Oh my God. I did that last year. That is the best rewatch. That is the all-time best rewatch.
For a couple reasons. Number one, because it's so smart and funny mm-hmm. and hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, because it's a really good 90s nostalgia hit.
Yes.
All like K.D. Lang was on an episode the other night and she looked incredibly young. And,
yeah.
you know, everybody just looks so young.
Yeah.
And they're dressed like we dressed in the 90s.
Yeah, it is a really good time capsule. It is sad watching it because it doesn't feel to me that that show is that long ago. How many people are not alive any longer that are on that
are
show?
Gone.
It is wild. Like Alex and I watched it and we'd be like, oh my God, dead, 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 dead. Like the yeah. guests for the show, you know, Gary Shandling, like it's really weird. It being a 90s time capsule goes kind of both ways because you're like, that doesn't feel that long ago to me, but fuck, that was 30 years ago. And many of these people are no longer with us. Crazy.
I will never not be shocked by the fact that the 90s were 30 years ago.
No, I know.
I mean, when I think back to being a 25-year-old or something or 29-year-old, that feels like a long time ago, but the 90s don't feel that long ago.
No, the 2000s don't feel like nothing feels that long ago to me. Like we were talking about, I mean, this is a totally depressing conversation, but Charlotte, my child was asking us about 9/11 because, you know, we were in New York for 9/11
mm-hmm.
and we were trying to explain 9/11. And I was like, God, that doesn't seem that long ago. And it's like, God, that was, you know, 23 years ago. It's a long time.
Yeah.
It's a long time. Yeah. It's weird. It's crazy.
I remember the day after 9/11, I was like, I can't wait for there to be more days between me and when this happened.
Yeah.
You know, just feeling like I can't wait till we're a month away from this. And I can't wait till we're a year away from this. And now we're so far away from it.
I think I was just in shock the whole time. Like I knew what had happened. I'd heard it on NPR and then turned on our TV and you know, whatever roommate I had and I watched the second plane and I tried to go to work. Like I just was like, okay, well now I go to work. Like I don't think I really absorbed it. And I did wind up I had to fact check some stories in Talk Magazine. We wound up putting Rudy Giuliani on the cover. We like crashed in a Rudy Giuliani cover and I was the only fact checker in the office. Like I was like, of course I come to work. And I wound up fact checking that story like 3 days after it happened.
Unbelievable.
It was crazy.
Remember how much everyone was like, Rudy Giuliani's going to save us after 9/11. Everybody like loved Rudy Giuliani all of a sudden. And now he's just like a head case.
Oh, yeah. America's mayor. Like that was it. I mean, we had this picture of him like he was a fucking god on the cover. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. I was at the gym when it happened and I was in the locker room taking a shower and all, and I walked out and it was on all the TV screens.
Wow.
Like it had happened while I was in the shower. And I walked out of the gym and down like I think 43rd Street towards the office. And when I got to 5th maybe or 6th, I looked left and everybody else was just looking left. And there were the towers, like you could see them on fire. It was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy thing to have happen.
It is. And that's what we were really talking about. Like, it's so wild that that happened. It's so terrifying that it happened. It's like, I mean, and it was crazy that we were there. It's just, it's still crazy. It's still crazy. But yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so that was 23 years ago, which doesn't feel that long ago.
No.
But when you talk to young people, that's the thing, your sense of time changes when you get older. Like when I say to people, oh yeah, I lived in Boston for a minute. And I lived in Boston for like 3 years, but like 3 years is like a minute to me at this point, you know?
Well, because we've had so many more years.
Exactly.
You know, That's it. Of course time seems faster.
Well, yeah. Remember being in like a year-long relationship and being like, this, I can't, like when you were really young, being like, I can't believe I've been with this person for a year. Like, it's so long.
Or like the difference between the person you were in high school and the person you were in college.
Oh my God.
You know, like, oh my God, that was so long ago. Like I was, you know, I was an entirely different person. But, you know, now I go decades without feeling like I'm an entirely different person.
Totally. Well, totally. I mean, that there's not that much movement now, you know, it's just not here. Here it is. Ready or not, here I come. It's a whole thing. Okay. So I have one really good rec for this week before we get into listener questions. I've been using an LED mask from Current Body. And okay, you have to use it consistently. Like you have to use it 10 minutes a night. It has an automatic timer on it. It also has a neck cuff, which I don't think is doing really anything. But the one for my face is making my skin tighter, making my skin less red for sure. And also I think minimizing, not like deep wrinkles, but like those little fine lines you get on your cheeks. I think it's definitely doing that. I think it's absolutely improving the quality of my skin.
No, that is a headline because we've gotten lots of questions about those things and they seem so ridiculous.
Yeah, and they look ridiculous.
But they work.
They look ridiculous. Some of them, like I have some that are in like the, like fucking, I have to just borrow it. Like no one would ever send it to me. Like they send them out to beauty editors and you get to borrow them because they're $1,800. Like,
yikes.
And those, they're like a hard mask. Like, they're probably more potent, but like, I don't want this weird hard mask on my face. But the ones from, I think, Omnilux and Current Body, I'm on the Current Body one right now. I'm going to start in the Omnilux next week to see how I think that one works. But they work. Like, I think they legitimately work. But the problem is, because I've talked to some of my other beauty editor friends about this, problem is you have to keep using them forever. You have to use them every day. I've already been like, oh, I don't feel like fucking putting that on my face again. So that's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're like $350. And that's the problem is the discipline. Like if you're a person who's actually going to do it every night, then you should do it.
If you have a Peloton in your house that is not used just for hanging clothes on it, then chances are good you'll use this mask.
I moved the exercise bike outside. Because it was getting so little use. I was like, I'm just pushing this outside so I don't have to look at it. I mean, next stop is outside and out to the trash. But it was a huge, I mean, thank God I bought it in a super discount on like Craigslist Marketplace. But yeah. So yeah, that's a good analogy if you're that kind of a person. But they do work.
Amazing.
Okay. What do you got for questions?
Okay, here's a question. How have you dealt with downtimes in your career and the dip in confidence that comes with it?
I mean, just feel like shit for a while. I don't know. I mean, I just felt like shit for a while.
Yeah. No, you do feel like shit for a while. The trick is to not convince yourself entirely that you are shit so that you can get back out there and try to find new employment. You know, it's very hard after losing a job, I think, to if you're somebody who's gotten a lot of sense of self out of their jobs, which is a lot of us,
yeah,
it can leave you in a real hole.
Yeah, and here's the thing: it's like I've really felt like a real loser. I really felt like a real loser in a lot of my 40s, like especially after losing a job, especially after like, you know, nobody wanted a second book from me. Like nobody wanted a second book from me. My agent all but dumped me. And what helped me ultimately, I think, get out of it was sorting out what I really still wanted to do, like what made me excited about work, and also what I really wanted to do with my life, like kind of fantasizing and having like a playful idea of like dreaming a little bit, dreaming about the life I would like for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that really helped me in what was really a massive dip in my mid-40s and like financial crisis, everything. So I think that reconnecting with yourself and about what you really want, because a lot of times we can just be in like very much in like the shoulds and what it looks like to other people and not really, you know, so much going inside and being like, what is it that I want? You know, like what kind of job would I like? Like what kind of life would I like next? And that makes it a little bit more, that brings you back to sort of a younger innocence, which is kind of a nice place to be.
And back to yourself and not your career self.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I might be at the start of perimenopause, but hard to say for sure. Speaking to a doctor this week, but no, this is just the start of figuring things out and not expecting a definitive answer from that. But for you guys, it's not a question so much as a request that you please tell me that it's totally normal to feel everything seemingly turn upside down emotionally and leave you questioning all of your life choices. Obviously, this could all be legit without hormonal fluctuations, but wow, it's been an intense week or so of what feels like permanent PMS, insomnia, and anxiety. So yes, maybe I'm just hoping you will say it's typical and to write it out and then tell a good story.
Oh my God, the insomnia.
The fucking insomnia.
The insomnia is the worst. The worst. No, of course you're not alone. Of course this happens to everyone and even worse, you know, and maybe it'll get worse, but then it does eventually get better.
Okay, so I'm going to say this to this listener. I was on a 6-year ride with perimenopause that I'm still not totally out of, but it's getting better finally. It started with brain fog. It started with mood fluctuations. And then it went into all kinds of things, joint problems, digestion problems. I am a hair falling out, fire mouth, fire tongue I had for a while. Like I had so many things. You are not alone. It is a physical, it can be for many women, like a physical cataclysm. There are estrogen receptors in so many parts of the body, the brain, the gut, everything. It's a transformation. You should buy the book, What Fresh Hell Is This? By Heather Corinna. You should try to, if you don't have a good, Western medical doctor, find a naturopath who is skilled in menopause and get yourself, if you are a candidate for it, some hormone replacement therapy, because that is life-changing. And more research is showing that it's totally fine to take estrogen if you're a candidate for it. But no, you are absolutely not alone. I felt crazy for years, and it's just in the last year that I'm starting to feel better. And I still have like 2 or 3 hot flashes a day, but it's better. And it's only because I've regulated my hormones and I've been on hormone replacement therapy for about 3 years now. And I wish I had done it sooner. So that's what I would say, but you're absolutely not alone.
You know, I think I had lots of depression in my 40s and early 50s and also migraines in my 40s. And I think more and more that those were at least somewhat the result of perimenopause, which I wish someone had said to me at the time.
100%. Like, I think I wound up getting fired from a job because I had such brain fog and I didn't know it yet. I didn't know what I was in. Yeah. I would just like, because there's another question in here. When did my ADHD diagnosis happen? And it happened because a lot of times if you have anxiety or ADHD or a lot of different mental health things that you've been managing your whole life, once perimenopause hits, they are so exacerbated because of what's going on in your brain with losing estrogen. So that was what happened. I could no longer pay attention to anything. I couldn't remember anything. And between hormones and Ritalin, I got through it. It's funny because I need Ritalin less now than I did 3 years ago. I couldn't have written my book without getting that ADHD diagnosis. So that's an answer to the other question. But I think you're absolutely right, Kim, that it, I think you're absolutely right that we don't even realize at the start that it's happening to us. And it starts, you know, I have a friend who just is 41 and it started happening to her because her mother went through it early, you know? So a lot of times it's happening early and you don't even fucking know it. So find out when your mother went through it too.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, I don't think I even heard the expression perimenopause until I was going through it. I mean, there's so much more conversation about it than there was which was basically no conversation.
I didn't know what perimenopause was. Everybody thinks that menopause is hot flashes and what else? Nothing. Like, what else did you know about it before you were in it?
I knew that there would be hot flashes. You're right. I definitely knew that. I knew there would be, you know, that there would be sexual aspects of it that would be a drag.
Drying up, like in the worst, like misogynistic way you find that out. Like, yes. Yeah. Like dry vagina. Anyway, you're not alone. And like this whole community will tell you you're not alone. We're all in different stages of it. It's fucking horrible. And it's more horrible for some people. It was a nightmare for me. I hated it so much. It was every day something fucking new. My hair just falling out and like, you know, at my skin dry, horrible. But get some shit sorted out. You also might be really low in vitamin D.
Yep.
That's a big thing that happens.
Yeah, get your blood work done.
Yes, yes, get your blood work done.
That becomes important.
Really important.
But I do want to stress, like, it gets better. It does eventually, there is another side to it. It does get better.
Yeah, I haven't seen it completely yet, but that's what people tell me is that it does, that there is like a, there's a turn. There's a turn at some point where it just like levels out.
It levels out. And it's not like your body hasn't, you know, changed. It's yeah. not like there weren't real shifts during that time. But at a certain point, it's like, okay, well, this is my new reality, you know, and I think you do stop having hot flashes and some of those symptoms.
Yeah. Jennifer Romolini, how is your aim to consume less pot going? No judgment, just curiosity. So I quit fully for a month. And that was really instructive for me because I realized some things about how I was using pot that wasn't working for me. And one of the things that I figured out was I can't have straight THC. My husband smokes some joints and I can't just have like a joint with him because I was getting paranoid. I was getting too stoned. It was just really messy. So I've gone back to not necessarily nightly, but more regular use of edibles, super low dose. I'm taking like 1 milligram THC, 10 milligram CBD, and I'm taking two of them a night when I take them. That balance is a lot better for me. I'm really dosing. I'm kind of micro dosing in a way that that works for me. Mm-hmm. And then there's like, I forget what it is, but it's like THVC or something that's really good for focus. And like I've done things where I've like taken walks after taking some of those edibles and felt very creatively inspired. So I'm back to using cannabis, but I'm using it in a much more scientific and careful way and not in like such a gluttonous, like, oh, whatever's around, I'll just take that, which was starting to feel kind of druggy to me.
I can't wait to scientifically experiment with cannabis with you in Palm Springs.
I mean, look, that's different. That's fucking vacation weed. That's a whole different life. That's a whole different life. I'm talking about like day to day where I felt like I was like, am I becoming a drug addict? Like,
no, I know.
That was what I was feeling like. And so I had to change that pattern. But like, look, Palm Springs, because the old people in Palm Springs love their weed. They have the best, secretly, they have the best weed stores in the world. So I can't wait to bring you to the emporiums.
Okay, here's one. Kim, loved hearing about your boarding school pink and green outfit on this week's pod, and Jen's enthusiasm for clothes is infectious. For you both, how and why did you first get into clothes and style?
Oh, that is a good one. You go.
I think I did when I went away to boarding school. I actually think that's when it was, because I was very aware of presenting myself as a type of person when I got there. Like I was going to prep school and I was from Houston. I didn't know anything about prep school except for what the preppy handbook told me. And then I got to that school. And as I was saying the other day, like it was really more of a hippie kid type school. So I like went and transformed my look into hippie girl. And then, then I was kind of new wave girl by the time I got to college. And I think that it was in those years that I started seeing how what you wear can transmit something about you.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom and her friends. So I was the only kid, and there were a lot of teenagers and young, like when my mom had me, she was 16, but then, or 17. And then, you know, then she's into her early 20s. And my mom and her single friends were very cool girls of the 70s. And they all really liked clothes. And I was around a lot of that. And I never stopped loving that exact style, like tall boots, mm-hmm. sort of A-line skirts, you know, like I never stopped like the Meryl Streep in Kramer versus Kramer. Like I never stopped. There's a very yep. specific type of style that I like. And I think I got it from my mom, even though she would totally deny it today. She says she hates shopping, everything else, but she has a good sense of style. And like, I was a kid who would draw like fashion drawings. Like I really liked clothes a lot. Like I liked dressing Barbies. I liked, you know, whatever. And I don't like fashion at all. Like, you know, like labels and stuff, but I do like putting together outfits. It's a creative expression for me. It's is, you know, just like I might just like, you know, I like picking out curtains for my house. So it's just an aesthetic thing for me more than anything else. And I don't know how to tell other people one of the reasons I was not great at fashion journalism is because I don't know how to tell other people to dress. Like I'm not good at that. I couldn't be a stylist. I know how to dress myself, but I don't really, I'm not like, oh, you should put this together. I just know what looks good on me and what I like.
Yeah, no, I don't know either. I could never be a stylist.
I could never be a stylist. I would be so bad at it. I try sometimes and I'm like, oh God, I'm sorry. You shouldn't wear those big bud, like those big bud press, like they're not great, but I love them. You know, like it's a real skill. Being a stylist and knowing what looks good on other people
and other bodies. Yeah.
And other bodies. Yeah. Other bodies. Cause I know the proportions of my body and I can like look through a store and clock, like that's going to look good on me. That's going to look horrible on me. And it's not just about being thin. It's about the proportions of your body. Like I don't look good in just a plain white button down because I have broad shoulders and I can look like a linebacker in them. It has to have like a drop sleeve. Like, that's really what all of this is just really understanding your own shape and then what you like wearing on top of that. Yeah. And sometimes what you like wearing doesn't look good on your shape. It's fucked up.
No, that's a big lesson. That's a big lesson to learn. Like, you know, falling in love with an image of somebody looking fantastic and like, you know, say big wide pants, which you have to be kind of tall and willowy to pull off. You know, it's like you fall in love with the look. And part of why you fall in love with the look sometimes is because it's so far from what you're capable of putting together.
Yes. Yes. Or like you love denim skirts. I have tried probably 40 denim skirts more in my 50, 100. I look like shit in denim skirts. And it's because of the proportion of my waist to my hips and how they ride up on me. And it's just, it's never been good on me. You keep trying and it's just like, no, that's not my thing.
Yeah. No, you have to learn what your thing is.
Yeah. You have to learn what your thing is. And you have to keep evolving your thing.
Yep. Yep. I'm kind of not evolving right now. I'm very aware that I'm trying or I'm thinking about evolving, but I haven't evolved in quite some time.
I know you say that, but when I saw you last time I saw you, looked like amazing. Like you had a perfect outfit on.
Oh.
You had a perfect outfit on. I was like, that is a perfect outfit. It looked great. But I saw you two nights. You had two great outfits on.
Oh, thank you. I hope you feel the same way in Palm Springs.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
I'm really trying to bring the color.
Well, that's funny because I am like, I don't know what I'm going to bring on this trip. So I'm just going to pack everything black.
That's
just
funny.
One whole black wardrobe. Just so we'll see. Look at this. This is a full hour of content. A full hour.
I know. I'm proud of us. I'm proud pleased of us. For you, listeners.
I hope you're pleased, listeners.
I know, really. As soon as I said that, I was like, that's kind of obnoxious.
Who knows? We don't. The thing is, we don't know. We just don't know. I have an exciting thing for all of our international listeners. My book is going to be out in the UK, which means it'll be available in the EU. I think it's going to come out 5 weeks. I don't know exactly when, but it's going to come out a few weeks after the American publication, US publication. So if you are in the EU, hello, Copenhagen. I think you will be able to get my book, which is exciting to me. Okay. Thanks for listening to Everything is Fine. We're your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it across the platforms. It really makes a difference. It helps people find the show. If you want to support the production of the show, we have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/everythingisfine. It's $3 a month. It helps us pay our wonderful editor and it helps support the production of the show. If you want to follow us on social media, we're on Instagram at EIF Podcast. We have a robust and private Facebook group, which is where we got the questions from today. If you want to find Kim, you should find Kim on Kim's Substack, kimfrance.substack.com. You can currently pre-order my book, Ambition Monster. The link is in the show notes. And the show is mixed and edited by the great and wonderful Natalie Rivera. And we'll be back next week.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.